You are live on KEXP. This is 90.3 FM in Seattle. We are listener-powered radio, and it's my joy, my pleasure to introduce to you Kaina. On KEXP.
Sometimes I get a good feeling. Sometimes I get a good feeling. Sometimes I get a good feeling.
It's a good feeling. Kaina, live on KEXP. That was lovely. Thank you so much, Kaina.
Thank you.
Live on KEXP. Yes. can you introduce us to the crew that you brought with you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Over here on my right, I have Ryan Person, a.k.a. Ryan the Person.
Hey.
Give it up. And then over here, we have Biako playing bass. Biako also helped produce Anybody Can Be in Love and Golden Mirror, so the first song and the last song we played. And then we have Brian Sanborn on guitar over here, who produced Good Feeling. And then we have Sen Morimoto here on my left, who helps co-executive produce everything I make and is a legend. All of these people are legends. Did his own KEXP session, but
yeah,
playing sax, singing, keys, everything. And I'm Kaina, and we're from Chicago, except for Biako, who's from LA.
Okay. Yeah, and speaking of Chicago, the album you dropped is beautiful this year.
Thank
it's
you.
Your second solo.
Yeah.
The title, It Was a Home. I wanted to ask you right off top to talk about home and what that means to you, because I know there's also, as a child of immigrants, I know home can mean a lot of different places, you know?
Absolutely. With my last project, Next to the Sun, I do feel like that was more straightforward about my identity and figuring out being a first-generation kid in the U.S. And then I think with It Was a Home, it was more about figuring out how I build my own home as like an adult now.
Yeah.
And It Was a Home is the title track, but also the first song that I wrote for this project. And it has to do with feeling like so small. Sometimes when you live with your folks, when you're growing up in the U.S., things feel so small, or sometimes it feels like you'll never get ahead. And I feel like I learned that from my parents a little bit, and I love them. They're amazing, but there's some unlearning to do. And so It Was a Home is kind of a song about realizing that everything I learned about building my own home and my own apartment, physical or community-wise, is what I've learned from where I grew up with my parents, the parties they threw, the friends that they had, and kind of wishing that I took more time to appreciate those moments, and that they did too. Mm-hmm. And we thought about them as more of a special time, as opposed to something to just get through and over.
Yeah. I feel like you do like a lot of beautiful representation of where you grew up, you know, as well. Like in some of your videos I've seen, I was wondering if you could tell us like about Irving Park, about the neighborhood where you came up.
Irving Park. I don't know. I guess Brian also came up in Irving Park, but I don't know. I think it was pretty isolated for me. It wasn't like particularly a specific kind of neighborhood.
Okay.
Like in Chicago, there's pockets of like Humble Park being Puerto Rican or Pilsen being Mexican. And like that place, it was kind of just my family and I. And that's kind of been my experience in the U.S. too. Like the only family I have in the U.S. is just my immediate family. And then, so that block was kind of just my family and my best friend Paige. And then when I got older, it was hanging out with Brian, taking my mom's minivan and going to shows and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. And then those shows that you would go to, you are part of a really powerful legacy, I would say, of Chicago musicians. The very first time I saw you perform, it was an NPR Tiny Desk, and you were singing with Saba. Who I know you worked on the Care For Me album with. And there's just an incredible legacy through the Young Chicago Authors. Like, for people that don't know, that's, you know, people like Jamila Woods and No Name and Chance the Rapper and Mick Jenkins and Jenks and Smino. And so many more. Can you talk about the importance of that movement and that community on your upbringing and your coming into music?
Yeah, so youth programming in Chicago means a lot to me, and I particularly came up through this group called the Happiness Club, and it was made in the 80s, which is why it has that name.
Wow.
But it taught me everything about, now reflecting, it taught me everything about being a performer and also about being trying to be a good person in the world. And so I think a lot of Chicago kids come up through youth programming like that, and then like, you're not realizing that you're being trained for a job that you could have in life one day, like, you know, music and art. And it's been so impactful to me and so important. And yeah, I'm so proud to be part of that legacy of folks. When I was like 15, I would go to every single Saba show I could go. And so I think when he asked me to be part of Care For Me, I felt like, I think like 15-year-old me was freaking out, you know? But it's amazing. That's something, you know, he did, he uplifted me. Or in Chicago, Jamila asked me to open for her when I was like maybe 19. And I'm kind of realizing it's my turn to do that too. It's really important that we keep these cycles of youth and mentorship in Chicago going. And now it's my turn to do that. And I'm really passionate about it. And I want to do that.
I love it. I love that legacy. I read that you tour managed for Raven Lynae as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you talk about that experience? Because that's kind of rare to meet an artist who like also like tour managed for another artist before their first tour, you know? That's rare.
Yeah. I was reflecting on that a lot because I just finished my first headlining tour here in Seattle. Ooh. And I was reflecting on tour managing for Raven's first headlining tour. Mm. And it's kind of just on some Chicago stuff, you know, like mm-hmm. I grew up in those youth organizations and then people saw me around and would be like, who are you? Like, do you want to intern here? And then I was interning for, you know, a few different folks like Jamila. I was her manager's first intern ever. And so yeah. I kind of just learned as much as I could about that life. Not really because I was like, let me get smart, but I was just like, I love this and I love music and I love these people. Mm-hmm. And then it's been super helpful now that I'm older and realizing that I have all these skill sets and connections with beautiful people. And I, like I said, I just want to keep sharing that. But that experience was really, I learned so much. It was so like, I feel like I was thrown in and I got it done. I don't know. Child of immigrant energy, like just getting it done. Actually, Brian was on that tour, and so I was helping tour manage him. but it was really, it was beautiful. And I love Raven, her new project, and I feel like we have, that's a connection because of that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think it's inspiring for, especially for younger artists to see that, you know, I tell people all the time, especially younger artists, like, you know, relationships will take you further than money ever will, you
Absolutely.
Know? Absolutely. And that's a great example of that, of like building good relationships and learning about different aspects of the business, you know?
Yeah. And just doing, anyone who's younger than me who asks me like how I got here, I'm like literally youth organizations in Chicago. And then just like learning as much as I could because it was fun. And this is how I got here, you know?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I love it. I wanted to ask you, I feel like I could talk to you all day. But
let's talk all day.
You know, we don't have all day, unfortunately, it's radio. But, you know, we'll do this again. You know?
Yes.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, what do you hope people get from your music, you know, more than anything else?
I've been reflecting on that a ton this tour, and I think a song like Golden Mirror is a perfect example of kind of what I'm thinking for myself and also other people, which is sometimes I don't really feel like singing that song because it's so positive and upbeat, but I'm realizing that on days that it feels like I don't feel like singing that is kind of when I need to say it the most. And so I'm realizing a lot of the songs I wrote on this album are kind of like affirmations of joy for myself. I wrote these songs in the last 2 years, and they're kind of lessons I learned and good reminders. And when I shared it with my best friend, she said it felt like I was writing her a letter. So I'm kind of hoping that it can be like a good friend to someone, like something that they pick up when they need it, including the videos. Like everything I made for this project was really intentional in that way. That was like, I don't care about you like buying this now or seeing me now. I really want you to sit with this and have it whenever you want. And I also want it to be, like I said, with Golden Mirror, I'm realizing that's my affirmation of joy.
Yeah.
Especially on days when I'm like, oh, this is all crumbling. Yeah. Like I get to sing this song and remind myself that I'm like here with my best friends playing music and that it's fun to sing this song and be happy.
Yeah. It's needed medicine, and I thank you for making it, for sharing it, and for sharing it here on KEXP.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And thank you to all the listeners who make this possible. Everything that we do here on KEXP is made possible because of that good listener support. So thank you. And thank you guys again. Kaina, live on KEXP. It's been a joy and a pleasure.
Thank you.